Accession number 30,009, this is Fred Brett, Real One. Can you tell me when and where you were born, Mr. Brett?
I was born on the 25th of the 7th, 1932, Hartford County Hospital.
And was that where your family lived, Hartford?
Yes, I was born and bred in Hartford, the family.
Can you tell us a bit about your family background, what your parents did for a living, what kind of childhood?
My father was a horticultural builder, and when the war broke out, he was medically unfit, so he had to pack up his business and work at the Hunston Aerodrome, where the Americans are. And my mother, I mean, we weren't too bad off, because my mother brought a television in 1948 for the Olympic Games. It wasn't very big.
So your dad was in steady employment throughout?
Oh, yes, my father had his own business all his life. He built most of the Lee Valley, the greenhouses.
How many were there in the family? Were you the only child?
I have a brother and a sister, who my brother was wounded in the Second World War. He's 6 years older than me, or was.
Now, were you in the town part of Hartford? Or?
Yes, right in the town we lived, right in the centre, yes.
Now, what about your education? Tell us about that.
I went to a little school, a Catholic school, and we only had three classes, infants, juniors and seniors. I started in 36, and I left in 1946. And that's the only education I've ever had.
How did you do at school, you think?
Mediocre. Not a bright spark, not like my wife. Not clever like the wife. And
any subjects you particularly liked or particularly disliked? Good at, bad at?
None, really. I wasn't brilliant at any of them, so it didn't bother me. I could get by, and that was it.
Were you interested in sport or any big hobbies?
Oh, yes, used like sport, but during the war we couldn't play, could we? Everything was rationed, wasn't it? Coupons and everything. So.
Now let's talk about the effects of the war. Now you were about seven when the war started.
Yes, I was seven when the war broke out.
Now how did the war affect you, as far as you were concerned?
We had one doodle bug in Hartford, and when that landed, I was there before the police and the ambulances. Because it wasn't far away from us. But we had one landmine in Hartford, which wiped out some houses. And
what happened when you got to the V1? We'll take that one first. I know it's later in the war, but
the V1s.
What happened when it landed near you?
That doodle bug. It was panic stations everywhere. But it landed on a shop, and I thought, if I get down there quick, I might be able to get one of their sheath knives, what was in the window. But it all went into the river, so I couldn't get one.
And what about the landmines? How close were they?
The landmine, I suppose, was about a mile away, and it Tamworth Road, and it knocked out, I think, about six houses.
Was there much bombing on Hartford? It sounds like
not really at all. No, at about the only two incidents, which was in Hartford.
Now, what about rationing? How did that affect you? Food rationing?
Well, to a certain extent it affected us quite a bit, but as I said, my father works at Hunston Aerodrome, and he was a terrific tradesman, and when he worked there, it was American base, that the Americans used to ask him to do different jobs, and they used to see him all right, so he used to bring home quite a bit of stuff. And my mother was a Catholic, and she didn't like the idea.
And what about sweet ration? Did you miss sweets, or because you'd have been seven, you'd have been used to sweets? Did you find
yes. I mean, mother used to dish out the coop, and so we had so much a week, me and my sister, because my sister was more or less only just 2 years older than me, so we used to have to share everything. But
was there a shortage of sweets? I mean,
Oh, yes, I can remember, sweets before the war. But everything was short. I mean, mother used to give us her sweet rations as well, and my father's. My father never ate sweets, or he always said he didn't.
Now, what about clothing rations? You know, the clothing coupons, weren't they?
Oh, yes, you used to get a new pair of boots to go to school in. We all wore boots to go to school in. And the first thing my father used to do was put studs in the bottom so they'd last a bit longer. And don't let me catch you sliding down the pavement, as we all done. Clothing we got by, I suppose.
Now, what about your air raid precautions? I should have asked that earlier. Did you have a shelter or a Morrison or an Anderson shelter?
My father, we had two cellars under the house, and my father made a platform which came down over the stairs for us to be in. And there was always a row, because when my brother went into the forces and he came home, he used to go upstairs to bed, and I used to play up that that's where I wanted to be. And there was always rows over that. Always.
So you just go there. What about the blackout? How did your parents do that?
Well, we was blackouts, yes. And my brother, before he went in, he was a fire watchman in Hartford on Graveson's, a big stores. And he done fire watching. And then he had to go into the forces then. I mean, that's...
Now, were you in anything like the air cadets or army cadets or anything?
No. Nor the scouts or the cubs. I wasn't in any of those associations, no.
Any big hobbies?
Not then. Now, yes.
No, then, yeah.
No.
Did you follow the progress of the war? You know,
when we was at school, because we only had the three classes, and when you got to the senior class, we had all the flags of all the countries, and we used to be very privileged to move the flag a little bit farther or retreat it, whatever was happening. So everyone used to look forward to that, especially when we started to move forward, and you had the privilege of putting the flag in where the nun used to say.
Now, what about the end of the war? Did you have any street VE day, VJ day?
Oh, yes, we had parties. And yes,
what
were
street parties like? I mean, what? Because they don't have street parties now, or not often. What was a street party like, as you remember it, as a, 12-year-old, 15-year-old?
14. I was 7 and 6, yeah, 13 I was.
13,
yeah. And we had a big bonfire in the road and some tables put up. And all the housewives, I mean, they all put food out for us, like, you know, and it was quite good. That's what I remember of it.
Any entertainment put on? Or?
No entertainment. Just put the tables up and we all had to sing. Yes, it was a long time ago to think about that.
Now, after the war, you carried on school till you were 14?
14.
Now, what were you going to do when you left? I mean, who planned it, you or your dad? Or?
When I first left school, I worked for my father for a very short period. Then I went into the building trade.
Now, tell me about that. What were you going in the building trade as?
I finished up as a bricklayer.
Before you joined the army, though?
Yeah, I was working on the building. I was bits of all trades, learning.
So you hadn't picked anything yet?
No, not particularly what I wanted to do. I was going to be a builder, and that was it.
What was a building? Why building?
I like the open freshness, and I've always been a person which rather be outside than inside. And it just suited me. I just loved it.
Did you work for one firm or...?
No, I worked for two or three firms. Then I had a row and I went to the Hornsmill glove factory for 3 months before I went into the army. And I didn't think much of that at all. The glove factory of the skins and hanging them up to dry and putting them through the oil, belting them. And no, I didn't think much of that.
So you enjoyed the building?
Yes, very much.
What were you building? I mean, what were you doing?
Houses and factories. Yeah. No, we hadn't started really building big estates then. That wasn't until, more or less, I came out the army, we started to build estates.
So you were just single house?
Yeah, yes, yeah.
And you did that with the glove trade You just 3 months. Did you go back to building before you went in the army, or was that your last job before you went in the army?
No, it was the last job before I went in the army and the gloves, and I had to go in then.
Now, so tell me about the call-up. How was it organised?
Well, the call-up, I got my papers to say to go to St Albans.
And what was the date that you had to go in?
I went in on the 2nd of November, 1950.
Now, tell me about your call. So, you just got your papers, and what did you have to do?
I had to catch a bus to St Albans.
No, I mean before. Didn't you have to sort of register and have a health check and all the rest of it?
That is where we went, to St Albans.
That was where you did it all?
All at St Albans, went to medical, and there was a lot of people trying to get out of it, one or two there. And I was only in there, I think, because I come home and I said to my mother, that wasn't long, I was only about 20 minutes. And they passed me as A1, and that was it.
Not a proper medical, then?
Not as I.
And was there any choice of what you were going to go in for?
They said, what would you like to go in and what would you like to do? But after I realised now that it made no difference at all what you put down. I would have liked to go on into the Remy, but there was no
Why
chance
the
of that. I thought about motors, because I could drive and things like that, and I thought, oh, it'd be handy in the Remy, but I didn't get there.
So that was all done at St Albans in November?
Yes. No, that was done in, that must have been August, and yes, and I went in, yeah, and I went in on November.
Now, in November you had to report to St Albans?
No, to okay. Colchester. We reported at Colchester, and...
Now, which barracks was it you were going to?
Oh... The name of the barracks. There's only one big one there. Can't think of the barracks. And I know when I got there, we got off the lorry, and there was a little bloke there with stripes on, and I thought, who are you? And he started ordering me about, and I gave him a few choice words and told him what he could do, and I got 5 days jankers to start with, and I thought that wasn't too clever, and that's the only time I got jankers.
So you actually told him what for then?
I told him what I thought of him ordering me about. I didn't like that idea. I didn't think much of that. He was only a little bloke, and I think he was put there for people like me. The bigger you are, you get a little bloke there, so you give him a bit of cheek, and I bit when he had a go at me. I bit. And
were you actually formally charged him?
Oh, yes, 5 days jankers. Oh, yeah.
What is jankers? I mean, can you explain for them?
Well, you have to do fatigues. You have to do whatever they tell you, like, you know, go around the cookers, peel potatoes, do washing up, anything what was going. After duties, you had to turn up for that in the evening.
So when you, what about kitting out? What did you get kitted out with there?
Oh, that was another thing. That we got issued all these, more or less thrown all these clothes at us and these uniforms, and there was some of us went in together, we knew each other when we went in, and in the morning when we put this gear on, there was one there and he was smartly dressed who came from Hartford, and he put a blue band on, and I said to him, what the hell are you doing, Warner? I said, why you got a better suit than us? He said, well, I'm doing my training with you and I've signed on for 22 years. And he was a potential officer. And the last I ever saw of him, it was a long time after I come out, and he was, I think he was a brigadier at the finish.
So he did well.
Yes, he did do well.
Do you remember what kit you got?
Well, I got a uniform, underwear, shirts. Shirts was itchy, trousers was itchy. I remember all that. Pairs of boots.
Now, who were you joining at Colchester Barracks? Was it, were you joining the Royal Norfolk Regiment straight away, or what were you joining there?
When we went to Colchester, everybody, like my mate Joe Brooks, who I served all the time with, he wore the Essex badge. I wore the Beds and Hearts, because that's the area where you come from. And then when we finished our training, we was sent to the Northamptonshire Regiment, to Trieste.
Yeah, so you were with the Beds and Hearts at Coltiff then?
Only wore the cap badge.
So what were you? What was it called? Was it a primary training wing or what?
Yeah, we were just platoons. I think we was 23 draft because there was
a lot of unit name.
Oh, it was each platoon was called something, but it was such a long time ago because you had to have a platoon of each, and we only just wore our cap badges. Was from the county we come from. That was all it was until they sorted out what battalion you was going to join, who was short.
So you didn't know what it wasn't called infantry training wing or primary training wing.
Oh, it was all infantry training, but each.
But you don't know the name of the unit.
No, whatever it's called, Sabre or something like that.
No, I mean the big unit, the actual units doing the training, the whole of it, not all the platoons together. It'll have been called something, but you don't remember.
We didn't do it all together at Colchester. We were separate platoons, two platoons at a time.
Now, what were your accommodation like? Was it barracks or was it huts or what was it?
Barracks. We had barracks.
What were they like? Can you describe?
I can remember that when we had the inspection for passing out parade.
Stick to the barracks. We'll come to it all. Passing out, you see, that's a bit of the end. What about the barracks? What were they like? What were their rooms like?
Well, it was just ordinary rooms, and I suppose there must have been, I suppose, about 20 of us in one room at least. It must have been about 20. And I know one or two of them cried that night.
Were the beds on either side of the room? Or
yes, what? Yes, it was either side of the room.
And what about heating? It was November.
Oh, they had the tortoise shell, the round ones in the centre. And one day they told us we've got to clean the coal for an inspection.
We're going to do inspections, don't worry. So, what about, was there a corporal at the end?
No, there wasn't no corporal in our room.
Just no.
Just recruits.
Did you have your, by the bed, what, so you got your bed?
And a bedside locker. We had a bedside locker.
And that's it?
That was all we had, yeah. Yeah.
Now we look at training through a typical day, because that lets us pick up. So how would your day start?
I suppose the day started, Reveille was somewhere around about 6:30, something like that. I was always up early, washed, shaved and changed before breakfast. I've always been somebody who gets up very early. And some used to lay in bed, and Sue could lay in bed the longest before we had to be on parade. I think it was 8:30. And they used to have a competition who could lay in bed the longest. Especially two of my friends was Kettridge and Sabin, and they used to regularly lay in bed to see who could be the longest. And as we got used to the training, it's surprising how long they could lay in bed and still be on parade in time.
So you get out and get dressed to get ready. Now, what about breakfast? We look at all the food in the day in one, say, going through each meal. What was the food like?
Fascinated me was porridge, because when you had either a mess tin or a plate, they always said to you, hold it down below the bowl, because you can have porridge 7 days a week and seven different ways. I mean, sometimes it used to come out like stodge, and your plate would drop 3 inches down and come back up again. And another day it'd be watery, and it was quite funny though.
What else did you get for breakfast?
The very first day we got in, they gave us kippers. And I like fish, but I can't stand kippers. And I thought, I'm not going to like this. I can't stand kippers. And I turned out to be a baron. I could lend money out and get money back. So if I didn't like something, I could go to the nappy and get something to eat. But on a whole, it was quite good, really, the food we had, I suppose. It was just that kippers I didn't like. But
what would you normally get for breakfast then?
Oh, what did we get? We got eggs sometimes, bacon and...
It's okay then.
Yeah.
What about lunch? What would you get for lunch? Whatever you call it, you know.
Well, lunch, quite often when we was in training, you got one cheese sandwich to take with you and one jam sandwich. And I used to eat that because the jam soaks through the bread and that's terrible. And the bread used to be cut about 1/2 inch thick. So you got 1.5 inch bloody slice by the time it was all done, and it was terrible.
The evening meal?
The evening meal wasn't too bad. I always had a hot meal and... Had all sorts, stew, everything, roast.
So you were quite happy with the food?
Oh, yes. Yeah.
So after breakfast in the morning, what would you do after breakfast?
Well, we'd do parades, we'd do marching, learning the salute.
How did you take to drill?
Personally, myself, after having 5 days jankers straight away, I'd done as I was told, so I didn't mind, really. I mean, we got by. I mean, some couldn't march to start with, but, I mean, when you could try to walk right leg and right arm like some of them did, it was ridiculous. I mean, we couldn't say they could do it, but we all got by with our saluting and marching.
Did you ever get to enjoy it, or did you just put up with it?
Oh, I suppose most of us just put up with it. It was just what we got to do.
Did you see any point to it then? Did you know why you had to do it?
Well, no, not really, but you learn that later. Discipline, innit? You learn that later on. But we got by and learned to fire a rifle and so forth.
We'll go on to weapons training then. So how did they teach you to fire a rifle?
I got in a row on that as well. They was out there and they got the tripods and they set a rifle up on a tripod. And there was a target at the other end, and I walked up to it, and I sighted the rifle onto the target before we was told or anything like that, when we was all milling about. And then the sergeant told me off about doing this, that and the other, and then he turned around and said, well, he's dead correct anyway. Well, I think most country boys can shoot anyway, so...
Had you done any shooting? You were middle of Hartford, by the way. You weren't that country, were you?
Oh, yeah. I mean, Hartford was all country round us. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, we knew how to shoot and catch rabbits and everything like that. Oh, yeah, we were country boys.
What did you think of the Lee Enfield? How did you take to it when you actually fired it? You know, sighting's different from firing, you know.
I became marksman on the Enfield, the Bren. And
so
the
you
Sten.
Were natural.
Yes, it just came easy.
Made you a good, what do you do that makes you a good... Sticking to the rifle first. What makes you a good shot on the rifle?
I think breathing as much as anything. I mean, you learn that when we was kids. Don't move. Hold it still. And it just came natural to us. I mean, then they start telling you about breathing and this, that and the other, but we didn't need it. I mean, once you used air guns and shotguns and things like that, I mean... Just kind of natural to you.
What about the kick of the Lee Enfield? That didn't bother you?
No, then I was picked on later, was that I fired the Piat, because I was a big chap.
We'll come to that. Don't worry, we've come to it all. So that's the rifle. What about, you mentioned the other things you were marshalling on, the Bren.
The Bren, yeah.
What did you think of the Bren? What Bren gun training did you get?
I suppose we had the same amount as what we did with a rifle, but there's a bit more pieces to it to take the bits and learn how quick you can put it together and so forth. And it just came quite easy to fire it. Yes, yeah, so I liked any weapon I could fire.
But you didn't have any problem with fitting it back together? You know, you do all the blindfold business.
Oh, yes, yeah, yeah, that was no trouble to me. I mean, I can remember in training that my mate Jack, that they gave us a test, my mate Jack had got a plane and I'd got adjustable spanner, which was two pieces. And my mate Jack said to me, can we have a quick changeover? He said, I don't know, put a plane together. So we had to have a quick changeover. Oh, yeah. Silly things we had to do.
And the Bren gun, you're accurate. It's a very accurate gun.
I loved it, yeah.
You liked it?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But the other thing was the Sten gun. Now, that's not accurate. But
you had to be very careful because you could lose your fingers. You could easily lose your fingers on one of them.
Can you just explain for them?
Well, when you put your left hand forward and you put it underneath, the shaft bit, the bolt bit, used to go backwards and forwards. And if you put your fingers there, they'd have them off. Quite easy. Loads of people have been injured with them.
did they tell you that if you dropped it, it would go off? Because it would. Not most of them would.
Oh, so you was taught never to drop a weapon, so it didn't make no difference. You never drop a weapon, and you never point a weapon.
Now, what about the Sten gun accuracy? I mean,
that was not really accurate, really. Not like the rifle and the Bren. I mean, especially the Lee Enfield. I mean, that was really something.
What range was the Sten? What could you hit a blood with accurately?
Accurately, to fire at a target accurately, I suppose. In my opinion, I mean, to be dead dead accurate, was 75 yards at the most, I should think, to be.
So you were a good shot with it, because most people can't fire them accurately above 30.
No, about 75 I could hit a good target, really good, you know.
Because most people, as I say, most people can't hit anything with a stick.
No, I know, no.
Why were you so good at it? Well, I mean, what was it, strong or, because you are strong built, you know, was it because you're a strong lad or?
I don't think so. I mean, it just came natural to get older and hold it correctly. Any weapon you hold correctly and you can deal with it. I have all the weapons, the only one I could not quite get hold of was the pistol. When I used to have a go at the officer's pistol, I could not seem to get that quite right.
Did you do that as part of your proper training, or was that later?
No, that was later.
Other weapons, what about the bayonet?
That was easy as well. And in training, I can remember when we done the 1,000-yard rundown, where you stand, and then you run, and you lay down, you run again, and you kneel, and you squat, and everything. And when you got to the 200-yard marker, you fix bayonets, and you charge down to the last 100 yards, and there's a 4-foot square target, and you got to put 2 rounds into it. And the amount of people that missed you could not believe it, because you're out of breath, and they couldn't hold the rifle straight, and most of them was going in a circle with the end of it, because they couldn't, instead of going up and down and getting the target. It was terrible to watch some of them.
that's the sort of assault. It was just a long run, and then fire up. Did you bayonet at the end of it?
We had to fix bayonets and charge, that was all, right, you know, yeah. To get the weight of the... Oh, and it was... You should have seen someone, it was terrible.
Did you do the sort of charging with the bayonet and the straw, or bags and things, or...?
No, I don't think I did at all. No. No. No, we didn't.
So you never did that sort of
no,
thing?
No, we didn't. No.
What about hand grenades?
Oh, yes. Yeah,
tell
food,
me,
yeah.
What training
yeah.
have on them?
Oh, we only was taken out a couple of times, with dummy ones to start with, and then we had one or two real ones. But that was later when I used the real ones. That was when we...
So it was just dummy ones?
Yeah, yeah, to start with.
And the Piat was later as well, I think.
Yes, yeah.
Mortars? No. Light mortar?
No.
So those are the only weapons that...
You trained with, yeah, Colchester. Yeah.
Now, what other training sessions might have in the day? You've done a drill, you've done weapons. What about PT?
I love PT.
What kind of PT did you get up to?
Oh, we exercises and so forth, like, you know, what you do, hands up, open legs, all the normal things you've done at school, more or less, and a bit of running. And
how
I really liked.
Was it sort of cross country runs or just a?
Well, yes, it was cross country, but it wasn't really timed like later on. But it was just good fun. I enjoyed it.
Did it make you fitter, or were you fitter?
Oh, I think it did make us all very fit. Oh, yes, I think when we finished training, we were super fit.
What about route marching?
Oh, yes, we'd done a bit of marching, and that didn't bother me. It did some of them, but that didn't bother me, marching.
And what about assault courses?
Oh.
Did you have one at Colchester?
Yes, but you can come to that later, though, assault courses.